The following podcast is for people who grew up in the 90s. Wherever you are right now, you're about to be transported back in time. And get ready for a nostalgia-filled trip down memory lane with the 90s Today podcast, where we talk about the 90s today. And by the way, do you love orange sodas? Because we do.
And here it goes.
With your hosts, Brandon and James.
Hey, you wild and crazy 90s kids. It's your host, Brandon. And you're here with my co-host,
James.
And you're listening to the Nostalgia Mothership, known only as the 90s Today Podcast. We've had a little vacation here, haven't we, James? But you're adjusting to a new job, so you haven't been able to come on. But we're going to get you back real soon. This is a good... You're able to give us an episode here, which is awesome, and we plan on you being back in October to do the Halloween episode.
Oh, absolutely. It's glad to be back. This all started with you and I were messaging each other about the Nintendo Switch news, and I was like, hey, here's an idea for something for you to do this weekend, and then I just kind of got really excited about it, and I started thinking, you know, I don't really think I have anything going on this weekend. So yeah, let's go ahead and record one of these. So yeah, glad to be back, glad to be part of the podcast again. And you know what? Let's just pretend that we haven't been on a hiatus, and let's just get the ball rolling here.
All right. So it came from the 90s. So, James, from the 90s, we have on World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, Monday Night Raw, Shawn Michaels, may, for fans of 90s WWF, Shawn Michaels may be coming back out of retirement to wrestle The Undertaker, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they're spending a way too much time way too much emphasis on a Taker. That's what us fans of the business call the Undertaker, fans who are in the know, of a Taker against Shawn Michaels. Yeah, I mean, it was what, 2 weeks ago, they spent it almost felt like a 15 minute long in-ring promo segment just teasing a possible rematch. Not so much a WrestleMania rematch, but I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that? And what's funny is this is just for a Triple H and Undertaker match in Australia.
At the Super Show.
Yeah. Oh, geez, whatever. That's happening. Excuse me. It's happening, you know, a month from now, just between Triple H and Undertaker. But, you know, Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had to deliver this huge promo, and they mentioned Shawn Michaels' retirement in it way too many times. WWE's not too good with subtle hints at all, at least currently. But if they don't go with it, I would be surprised. Do I want to see it? Not really. But if they went with it, whatever.
And
what do you think, Brandon?
I think that will definitely bring people to watch it, especially fans of the old days. But I don't think that Shawn Michaels should come out of retirement for this.
Yeah, and let's be honest, like, Undertaker's last, what do you want to say, 4 or 5 matches, especially at WrestleMania, that's like the only thing he wrestles at anymore, have been not good. And the only one that people even talk about is where he was defeated by Brock Lesnar, and that was on WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, yep, and I remember, it had such a mystique about it, a streak. And now he's beaten by Roman Reigns, and he was beaten by Brock Lesnar, and it just, I don't really know why he hasn't even retired yet, you know?
I mean, at least not even wrestle at WrestleMania. I mean, what's the point?
I know some people will be mad at us for saying that, because usually The Undertaker coming back is a big deal, you know? Nobody really wants him to retire, but still, you know, it's just like, it's like when the glory days are past them, to continue wrestling, right, it just makes them look... It's better to leave while you're riding high than leave when you're at the low.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I like Ric Flair, but, you know... Well, sorry, that's an understatement.
It's an Undertaker.
But it's what I almost said. It's a taker, you know. That's what us in the know.
Oh, there's take, man. There's take.
But I've missed this. Like Ric Flair for a while there, you know, towards the end, every time you would see him take a bump in the ring, you're like, oh, Jesus, is this it? Is this where he's going to... Is this the bump on the mat that, you know, ended the career of Ric Flair? Jeez. But, yeah.
And speaking of Ric Flair, he cosplayed as you recently on the weekend.
Yeah,
it's on your Instagram. You can follow James on his Instagram.
Yeah, he got married, so that means he cosplayed as me.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what I'm talking about,
go to youtube.com/madeofcool.
Oh, jeez. Just type in Ric Flair. Yeah, we're sorry. Type in Ric Flair wedding entrance. Look for a picture of a handsome man that's not Ric Flair in a Ric Flair robe, and click on that and enjoy a minute and 30 seconds of watching some idiot get married.
I was there. I was the cameraman for that. So,
Jesus. So, I'd say most of our generation remember the Melissa Joan Hart-led series Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and I believe that was on TGIF during the later portion of, or the later life of TGIF.
Yeah, I watched it, yep.
Yep, I did too. I loved it. Thought it was great. Now, they're not rebooting it, they're not remaking it, but Netflix is premiering a new Sabrina series called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina this October. I think I've already said that. And it's kind of, they're kind of going along the lines of the adult oriented Riverdale Archie show that's on the CW. So they are doing this Sabrina. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a companion series to Riverdale, which we don't really talk about modern stuff on here too often, but I love Riverdale. Alexis, who you've heard on the show a few times, my wife, we love Riverdale, and I think I tried to get you to watch it, if I'm not mistaken, Brandon.
I watched the first season, didn't continue after that one, because I couldn't find a where to watch it at.
I really enjoy it, but I know that the comic book, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, it takes place during the 60s, but I'm not too certain when this series takes place. And the reason why that we are bringing up this now, of course, this has been announced for several months now, but they just debuted the trailer this week. So this whole show involves everything about things that have happened this week. This series isn't so much like the whimsical take on the character, like the Melissa Joan Hart version. This is a darker toned one. Like, we're dealing with the occult, witchcraft, probably, you know,
so
dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria, stuff like that.
Does it at all have, you know, the two witch parents with the daughter?
You mean the aunts?
Yeah, sorry, the aunts. And then the niece. Does it have a darker tone and follow sort of the premise of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Well, see, I don't know. I've read the first issue of the comic book of The Chilling Adventures. I briefly remember the aunts being in there, and I know that Salem the cat was in the comic, but I don't know how they're going to be doing that for this Netflix show. I'm kind of disappointed that it's not on the CW. So I doubt there's going to be a crossover, but if there is, it'd be great. Cause, you know, if, you know, it's set in modern times, because Riverdale has mentioned, I believe it's Greendale, which is where Sabrina lives. It's a neighboring town.
Okay.
So I am looking forward to it, and I hope that there are more Archie spinoff shows coming out, because like I said, I really enjoy Riverdale, and I really enjoy the current Mark Wade Archie comic book series also.
All right, guys, so you heard it here on All right, guys, so today's topic of our show is going to be about 25th anniversary shows we watched in the 90s. Of course, we're going to be talking about The X-Files, which premiered on September the 10th, 1993. Legends of the Hidden Temple. Sorry, because I said it wrong earlier. Okay, Legends of the Hidden Temple premiered on September the 11th, 1993. Lois and Clark, The New Avengers of Superman, September the 12th, and Animaniacs, September the 13th, 1993. These shows premiered one day after each other in 1993. What a year was 1993, James?
It was a good one, apparently, with all this, all these awesome pop culture shows going on. Heck yeah. And what's, it was funny because you and I were, had just talked about it. Like, I was trying to figure out what days of the week these came on. And I remember the X-Files premiered on a Friday. And of course, I didn't watch it back then, back when it first started. But X-Files, I know for a fact, premiered on Friday because Fox did not know what to do with this show. So they put it on a Friday night thinking that, you know, people weren't going to watch it because Friday nights was like a death slot besides TGIF because that, that reigned supreme back in the day. But they eventually got real popular. They had to move it to Sundays and boom, the rest is history. It just was just a juggernaut. But yeah.
Yeah. And we could start out talking about X-Files if you want to, since it was the first one that premiered. You know, to me, I never watched X-Files at all, except the one that you told me to watch, which is actually part of a newer series that's happening, you know, currently, or did. But as far as I know, is X-Files kind of on the, you know, have elements of like the Twilight Zone or Night Gallery, Tales from the Dark Side, things like that?
What do you mean by elements, I guess? I think I have to ask that question.
Kind of in its suspense and its fiction.
Yeah.
I'm not reading anything. Just because I'm using big words like fiction.
Oh, yeah. I remember X-Files, yeah. We're the dog, and there's a cat, and they're on a river, and they're on a log.
Yeah, it was speckled and stuff. Scully was a skeptic, and Mulder was a believer.
Stop it. Stop.
Okay,
stop.
I'm sorry. So was X-Files inspired at all with elements of the Twilight Zone, Night Gallery, things like that?
I'd have to say absolutely. I'd say that, you know, there were elements of like the macabre and the strange and the odd that, you know, that was popularized for television by, you know, shows like Twilight Zone, definitely. But I think one of the bigger inspirations for the X-Files was a show called The Night Stalker, where there it was just one man, and I can't even remember the actor's name, but he played the old man, the father, in A Christmas Story. And Kolchak, his name was Kolchak, The Night Stalker. And so he investigated, you know, vampires and stuff like that. And this was a show that came out, I believe, in the mid-70s, and it really didn't last off. I think there was only like 10 or 13 episodes or something like that.
Darren McGavin played the role of Carl.
That is it. Brandon's, you know, mind that stores all this information. He never uses the internet, folks. It's crazy.
I was just looking up the name, okay? I'm not claiming that I know anything about the Night Stalker.
I know. I just like to pretend. It's fun. Because sometimes I'll hear on the podcast, I hear like the keyboard. Oh yes, it was this.
Who is this guy?
Obscure information found in my cranium. But yeah, Kolchak, The Night Stalker was definitely a huge inspiration for the X-Files.
What made you start watching the X-Files?
I had always. One of my friends that worked at a comic book store here in town, she was always constantly talking about the adventures of Mulder and Scully and all this stuff. And I think one of my Disney this tells you how old I am. Do you remember those Disney adventure like little digest magazines you could get at like the grocery store and stuff like that?
No.
You remember those?
No, oh, man. Them.
So I had a subscription to Disney Adventures, and it covered more than just Disney stuff. It covered like all, it spanned, you know, sports, and of course I didn't read any of that, comics, pop culture, all this stuff. One of the Disney Adventures covered the X-Files, and they had like this contest in the back. So I went to her, and I was like, hey, tell me all the answers to the X-Files because, you know, you like the X-Files, and I want to win this prize package. Well, that got me interested more. They actually started releasing, like, Goosebump-type books of the X-Files. They were for the younger readers, but they were, like abridged versions, kid-friendly versions of, like, episodes. And I can't remember the title of the episode, but it was an episode where there's like these glow in the dark parasitic insects that, you know, are killing off people in a forest. I don't know, I'll probably remember the name of the episode later on. But that's what kind of got me started into it. And I ended up getting into the series around 96. So about 3 years after it had started, but definitely at least 2 years before the movie come out. So I was watching reruns, watching brand new episodes, and I was gung ho for this movie when it come out. But it was, I cannot remember the first episode that I watched, but I know that I was hooked and I kept on coming back, Sunday after Sunday, watching more. And in turn, since it came out on Sunday, and sort of The Simpsons, I ended up becoming a Simpsons fan in the process. So a little bonus on the side.
What was one of the scariest episodes for you? Like one that stayed with you, or one that kind of freaked you out? Or did they?
What? Episodes that scared me?
Yeah. Or anything that kind of freaked you out like that?
One of the scariest, and of course, every... And it's, I feel like such a non-fan to say this, but it's such a darn good episode, because I'm sure, like, you know, like the diehard X-File fans who are called X-Files, PH, they could probably spurt off some obscure episode that not everybody else would think of. But honestly, I mean, one of the creepier, scarier episodes is an episode called Home, which involves a inbred family, the Peacocks. And the episode starts off where there's kids playing baseball in a huge open field, and they find a fetus that has been buried in the ground, because that's how you bury things. And upon investigating this dead fetus, they find out that this baby is just deformed because, you know, it's like it's inbred. So if the whole family is like this crazy inbred family, and there's just a lot of this gross, obscure, nasty stuff going on with this episode. And after it was shown, viewers found it so disturbing that when they would show reruns of the third season in syndication, they would sometimes omit that episode from being aired. And if they did air it, they would air it with the viewer discretion advised message before the episode and when the episode was coming back on after commercial breaks.
Wow. So,
and if I'm not mistaken, it is the only X-Files episode, I think, when it is ran in syndication to get a TVMA rating, if I'm not mistaken.
So this might be a dumb question to ask, but how do the X-Files come across these characters? Like not the X-Files, but how does each episode start? Is it like a story, or do they come across a case? Or are they given a case or something like that?
Oh, I mean, it's Brandon, that's not a stupid question at all. I mean, for somebody who hasn't watched the show religiously like me, trust me, not a stupid question at all. Honestly, different ways. You just kind of answered your own question. They Scully and Mulder, more so Mulder, comes across the cases different ways. People come to them because, you know, they have reached through channels, and they end up getting, you know, hearing a Fox Mulder's name because, you know, he's the believer. You know, he's Agent Spooky Mulder. So, you know, so they know who to come to him, or they're just cases that other departments in the FBI just come across and are like, well, forget this. This is stupid. Why would anybody even want to deal with this? Let's take it down to the basement offices where that idiot Mulder works at. And just investigating regular cases, and then some strange crap ends up happening, or the fact that there's a huge shadow government within the show's myth arc that operates everything, that operates our government. So wow. I mean, yeah, that's how all that happens. So It's always interesting. I mean, no episode is the same. So it's always fun. Oh, you know, going back to creepy episodes, I'll mention it real quick. There's one episode, I believe it's in season 6, and it guest stars Bruce Campbell, who plays Ash from The Evil Dead. The premise of the episode is that he's married, he's wealthy, but he has a secret, and he has different wives in different cities and stuff. And he always works like these long. He's always having to travel for his job. Come to find out that these wives that he has, they end up becoming pregnant. And when they do come up pregnant, and they see the ultrasound and stuff, these babies have like tails and horns in their head. Well, during the night, like after these ultrasounds come back, this demonic figure shows up in these women's bedrooms, and they wake up, and like the next day, like their babies have died. You know, mm-hmm. the babies have taken out of the womb and everything. Come to find out, this character portrayed by Bruce Campbell is the devil. And he's actually trying. And the reason why he's, you know, impregnating these women and killing the babies, it's not so much that he's just a jerk. It's the fact, well, I mean, the devil's the jerk, you know, shut up. But he's trying to produce offspring that doesn't look demonic. He's wanting to make the perfect looking antichrist that won't become, you know, that won't be so suspicious to everyone. But at the end of the episode, and this is what's so creepy about it, is that at the end of the episode, he finally meets this woman, and he's, like I say, he's been appearing to these other women in full demonic garb. There's fire everywhere, and he's about to snatch this baby out of his hand, out of the womb. And the wife wakes up, grabs his hand, and says, "What are you doing?" And calls him by the name that she's been married to. All the other women just thought that they had some nightmare or were just visited by a demon. This woman, you find out, knew who she was married to the entire time. And wanted to have this type of child.
Wow!
So at the end of the episode, you see her showing this, you know, lightly red skinned demon baby in a stroller, and that's how the episode ends. And I'm like, it's so creepy. But you know, as much as you guys have heard me talk about how much I love Home Improvement is my second favorite TV show in the entire multiverse. X-Files reigns supreme in my heart. And Brandon, you need to watch it finally.
Well, we're going to move on to Legends of the Hidden Temple, which premiered on weekends at 6:30 p.m. from Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, at the now-defunct Nickelodeon Studios, which is now, I don't know, is it Blue Man Group? I don't really know what it is anymore. But it lasted for 2 years. It surprises me, because I feel like Legends of Hidden Temple went on for a very long time, but maybe that was because of reruns and syndications. But it says September the 11th to 1995. September 11th, 93 to 95, sorry.
Yeah, it had to be reruns, because I remember sitting in my music class in 7th grade, which was 1997, talking to my music teacher, Mr. Williams, and talking to my other best friend, who we should probably have on this show one day to talk about Transformers one day, Matt Saunders. And we were talking about Legends of the Hidden Temple. Like, we were describing this whole game show to our music teacher. He was like, "That seems pretty cool." This is 4 years after it premiered. So, yeah, it's crazy that it only lasted for 2 years, and I'm still talking about this show 4 years later like it's brand new.
You know I read this, so it's not like, you know. But did you know the show was originally conceived under the title Secrets of the Haunted House, where monsters would jump out and scare contestants while they tried to complete challenges inside a haunted house?
Whoa, Brandon. You have flipped my entire universe upside down. That is crazy. They probably changed it because it might have been deemed too scary for some viewers. But I did not know that. That is really cool.
It'd have been cool if they would have done that. Secrets of the Haunted House during SNCC, right after Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I would watch that now if it were hosted by Kirk Fogg again.
Yeah, just as... But where would Olmec be in that? Or wait, was that actually Snyder's Bakery? Or was that an Olmec one?
I thought it was Olmec. I think he did good.
Because you know what I'm talking about. Anyway,
I do. Or do I?
So
speak polite.
You do. You've watched iCarly.
I do.
And Sam and Cat.
And That's a whole other podcast yeah, where we try to get. That's a whole other podcast where it's an intervention.
Man, that's a rabbit hole, rabbit season. All right. Anyways, most contestants on Legends of the Hidden Temple were between 11 and 14 years old, and they did several
and
physical
completely
tests.
Idiotic. We can't.
Yeah, if you watch this,
head, torso, feet, head, torso, feet. Oh my God. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
So first was the moat, which is basically a swimming pool. But it was a swimming pool. But I mean, you had 16 members. You know, the orange iguanas, purple parrots, blue barracudas,
red jaguars,
silver snakes, and the green monkeys.
Were
the six teams, and basically you went across the pool with a rope in the middle of the moat and climbed it. I don't remember. Okay, you cross the moat, and the first four teams to cross the moat ring a gong, and I know they go to the steps of knowledge. Now we have heard some hilarious stories from Olmec. Like, what was it? The floating dog leash of Nostradamus or something like that. The levitating dog leash of Nostradamus.
The levitating dog leash of Nostradamus. I remember, yeah, you and I were watching that episode.
Yeah, on a recreated that I made.
Oh my God, we laughed for like 10 minutes straight. And then we had to rewind it just to make sure that's what we heard. And then... Yep. So yeah, we're watching a 30-minute episode about the levitating dog leash of Nostradamus, and you're like, they had to be running out of ideas. Like, out of all the legends in the world, do we really have to start making these up? But yeah, oh man, gosh. And what I hated was that when you had four stupid teams that finally made it across the moat and onto the steps of knowledge. And, you know, like the first 10 questions are about the story that Olmec or the legend that Olmec tells to you. And then you have so many teams on there trying to make it down to the bottom. But like, you know, they expected like these kids to get these questions real quick. Like after the first 10 questions, if you don't, they start running out of good questions. And it's like, what number am I thinking of? And then like, yeah, four.
Correct.
That is correct. Yeah. Sorry, teams that didn't win, but here's your pair of British knight shoes with the lights in the sole. Oh, God. Yeah, those stupid kids.
While in Tahiti, did Gauguin live in blue barracudas? Incorrect. The natives of Tahiti are called Polynesians. Blue barracudas.
Polynesians.
That is not one of our choices.
Anyway, continue telling us about the game.
Yeah. So basically they answer the right question. You know, they move down the steps of knowledge. The team that gets the end of the steps of knowledge goes on to round three, the temple games, which basically they compete in physical challenges to win pendants of life that they could use when the temple guards, while you're in the temple run, grab them. So, yeah. So the temple games are just physical challenges, basically.
Yeah. And what's so stupid is that the first two games, you could only win half pendants of life. But the third game, you won a full pendant of life. Now, what's dumb is that if you win a half pendant and then win a full pendant of life, and then of course they're going to send the half pendant person into the temple. Of course you exchange this so you don't get captured. It doesn't matter if you have a half pendant of life or not. Like, why are you even wearing this thing? Like, you're just giving free broken jewelry to a temple guard. He's still going to snatch you up anyway. Like, you have to win all three games for it to even matter. Did that ever bother you as a kid? Because it sure bothered me. I mean, I'm still talking about it now. Like, it's so stupid. And that stupid jester's courtroom where no kid could align their bodies on the wall. Oh, I'm just going to be quiet. Oh, my God. This game. I love this. This is my favorite game show, I think, of all time. not just on Nickelodeon, but of all time. It beats out Double Dare by just a hair, by just a smidge. But my God, these kids. Yeah, but the pendant of life, the half pendant of life rule is so flawed. It makes absolutely no sense. You're just giving free broken jewelry to a temple guard, and you're getting kidnapped in the process. Like, here's my jewelry. Oh, you don't want it? Well, crap. Now I'm kidnapped. Dang it. So it's just, ugh. Kurt Fogg.
Well, you know, the temple run part.
Oh my God, the temple run.
Now, I have video somewhere, and if I find it, I'll release it on the Instagram page of James shouting and screaming at the TV at this kid trying to make it through the temple. Like, full on panic, anxiety, screaming at the TV, "You can make it, you idiot! Get up, get up! Hurry, hurry! Go, go, go!"
I gotta get into it, man. Like,
it was great, though. Or like when you'd hear the prize earlier, you'd go, "Moon juice!"
Moon juice?
Yeah. You go, "Moon juice!"
Heck yes! Savings bonds from the U.S. Mint! Yes! Space cap tickets! Space cap tickets!
Oh, and the Shrine of the Silver Monkey. Everyone makes fun of this, but you had three parts to assemble. Really simple. And nobody could do it.
Head, torso, feet. It's not hard. God, you would think that it was like a Rubik's Cube room.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you would think so. And the only people who could figure it out were the Japanese contestants. But no, you just assemble a freaking monkey that's silver. God bless. It makes me so angry. I mean, 25 years ago, I'm still so angry. Like, I'm watching it with my mom thinking, how stupid. I'm also thinking to myself, you know, you never saw a fat kid on the show. I was the fat kid, you know, growing up, and I'm still chubby now, but I was a stupid fat kid then. And I'm telling my mom, like, you know, I might not be able to make it across the boat. I might not be able to do these temple games, but I know how to play the temple. Yeah. Like, come on. Like, do these kids even watch the show?
They probably don't. They're probably grabbed out of Universal Studios while they're on vacation.
Like, hey, kid, do you watch the show? No. Come on. You're perfect.
Yeah. Making it.
Do you know how to assemble
a body that resembles...
They even made fun of that on the made-for-TV movie, too.
Yep.
Like, the kids were in the Silver Monkey room for, like, hours, and they couldn't figure it out.
Didn't they, at the end of that movie, win a trip to space camp or something?
I think so.
Or was it? I don't know how they would have won a trip to space camp, but I thought that was in there. But anyways, Kirk Fogg was in that movie, and they also released a board game at Target.
And I own it, and you can get yours at Target also, because it's on clearance.
Go to target.com/the90s today. You'll save $10. I'm just kidding. I wish we had a deal at Target. Legends of the Hidden Temple was an amazing show that lots of people enjoyed. It was very surprising to only be 2 years, but it got rerun a lot, even on Team Nick and Nick Gass when they had the Game and Sports Channel. And
oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if it's still on Nickelodeon today, because I don't watch Nickelodeon anymore, because, you know, there's nothing on there for us to watch that we'd be interested in. Nope. But yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple. So Next, we're going to talk about Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. It premiered on the 12th, September the 12th, so day after Legends of the Hidden Temple. And James, this will be all you, because I remember it coming on, and I think I mostly remember it, and I'm not sure if I'm right on this, but did it come on TNT before WCW Monday Nitro or after it?
Well, I can't really answer that question. Those definitely would have been reruns on a cable, but it originally premiered on Sunday nights on ABC. I remember the premiere. I taped it and I watched it several times. But it was and I'll keep this brief because I'm not the biggest fan of the show, but I just believe this is something that we definitely need to hit on, because, you know, it lasted like 4 or 5 seasons and it was canceled, just abruptly canceled. But while it did talk about, while it did, you know, have Superman in it, Clark, you know, Clark Kent would change into Superman and, you know, solve, you know, problems around the world. It focused mainly on the romantic tension between Lois Lane and Clark Kent while they were coworkers at the Daily Planet. Had some really good supporting cast members. I really love, and I can't remember the name of the actor, but I'm sure Brandon knows it. he played the father of Becca on a Son-in-Law, which is I'm sure you guys know. Son-in-Law is one of my favorite movies of all time, starring Pauly Shore. But he played the father on that movie. But he played Perry White.
So it was Lane Smith.
There it is. But I mean, perfect casting. And I wish he was alive today to be cast as Perry White in the DC movies now. But perfect casting for Perry White. And I even liked Ma and Pa Kent, because he would, you know, since, you know, they lived in Smallville, Kansas, and he, you know, Clark Kent lived in Metropolis, they would always have like this long distance relationship, and they would always show a split screen of Clark calling his parents, and they would always be on either side of the bed because they had two phones on either nightstand. And so it would just be them talking to Clark Kent while he's talking to them. And they were just funny characters. And I always really, really enjoyed that. And, you know, here comes the misogynistic aspect of myself. Terry Hatcher, absolutely stunning as Lois Lane. And I'm sure, you know, you ladies like Dean Cain, so whatever. And if you miss Dean Cain, hey, I'm sure you can watch the Lifetime channel right now, and he's probably on some made-for-TV movie right now. And I think he recently got sworn in as a police officer somewhere, which is pretty cool. So Superman is actually out there potentially saving lives right now. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, he was a police officer of the St. Anthony Police Department as a reserve police officer on June 19th of this year in St. Anthony, Idaho.
Man, I need your memory, dude. That's crazy.
Hey, was Smallville kind of a sequel to this? Not a sequel, but kind of in the same vein in a way, or at all? Okay.
Smallville was just like a teen drama of Superman.
All right.
But he didn't turn into Superman until the last episode of the series.
So it kind of wasn't Superman. It just had the names in it, and it was a teen drama like Dawson's Creek or something.
Sure.
Do you even know what Dawson's Creek is?
I do. Okay. Never watched it, though.
Okay. So the very next day, we all watched Animaniacs, right?
We did. Fox Kids.
Yep, Fox Kids. Okay, so Animaniacs was very, very funny. Had slapstick and satire all through it. It made fun of itself, too. It didn't take itself too seriously. It even was a bit adult in ways that you probably would understand now more than you would understood then. Mm-hmm. And it was a time where me and James had talked about how cartoons and things of that era got away with a lot of stuff that you couldn't get away with now. So, Animaniacs had a ton of stuff in it. And weren't they, I do know that Buster and Babs Bunny and Plucky Duck, they all kind of made a cameo appearance in one or so episodes of Animaniacs. So they were made by WB, so were they all kind of mashed together in a way by the same creators and things like that in a way? Or do you even
know? I'm sure they're part of some multiverse, some shared universe. But I mean, I don't remember that. I mean, you probably remember it with your best memory.
I don't remember it either. But I just read that. So,
but, no, I mean, we've talked at Animaniacs at length, and, I know some people are team Tiny Toon Adventures. I'm team Animaniacs when it comes to the best of those two, because a lot of people like to compare the two, but no, Animaniacs to me was just way zanier. It's like, and like a, once again, we have said this several times on the podcast. It's as if the writers were just given complete total freedom to write about whatever they wanted to write about. Excuse me. And it was almost as if they were writing episodes to humor themselves, because it was just nuts. I mean, just the cast of characters themselves was amazing. I mean, we've talked about. I mean, you can't mention the Animaniacs without not mentioning Pinky and the Brain, which led to its own spinoff series on. Did it start off on Fox, and was the spinoff series on Kids WB? I can't remember.
I don't know.
See, I can't remember that. But I mean, either way, like, you know, you had Pinky and the Brain, Buttons and Mindy. Help me out here, Brandon.
Plucky Duck Show.
That was on Animaniacs.
Plucky Duck? Was he not? Oh, that's Tiny Toons.
Yeah,
never mind. Oh.
Memory go down the hole. Let's see. The good feather.
That happens as you get older.
Yeah. But of course, my favorite, and I've talked about this, Chicken Boo.
Oh, yeah, Chicken Boo. You're not a man, you're a Chicken Boo.
Animaniacs had something for everybody. It was absolutely insane, ridiculous, dumb, and one of the best cartoons of the 90s, especially when it comes to comedy.
I don't know if James will do this for us now, but if you go back to a Fox Kids episode that we did, James actually sung the song in the Chicken Boo episode. It was hilarious.
About the Chicken Boo theme?
Yeah. I mean, I forget what it was, but it was something, and it was hilarious, and you knew the whole song to it.
Are you talking about the Chicken Boo theme song or the Pinky and the Brain song where he's a country western singer?
No, it was a Chicken Boo song, wasn't it? Sing it.
Okay, well,
is that the Not a Man, I'm Chicken Boo?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the Pinky and the Brain, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Pinky and the Brain. Okay. So never mind.
Wait, but I can still sing it if you want. I mean, I don't care. You don't pay me. I mean,
if you want to sing it, go ahead.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, before I do it, so here's the brief synopsis of the episode. You know, Brain, the genius lab mouse, he tries to take over the world. He has these ingenious plans that are also really stupid at the same time to do so. But this one, he decides that he's going to use subliminal messages in music to take over the world. And he becomes a country western singer by the name of Bubba Bubba Brain. And so his song is, I am a lab mouse. I escaped from my cage. Never had a job. Never earned a minimum wage. But you will respect me, yes. As my plan is unfurled, you will call me your leader. I'll be king of the world, and it's that. I mean, and like I've said, I have not seen this episode in probably 15, 20 years. But
you must have loved that song. Did you go around singing it in school?
Yeah, and let me tell you, I was really popular with the ladies.
I bet. I bet they wanted to call you their leader. Yes.
Hey there, girl. You want to hear a song that a lab mouse sang on a cartoon I watched the other day?
Let me get the guitar.
Okay, see you later.
All right. So, but didn't you have a Chicken Boo episode that you thought was hilarious as well?
Oh, the Chicken Boo episode was, you know, where he was, like, he goes to, like, high school, and, like, all the girls fawn over him, and he, like, makes the football team and everything. What's funny is that Chicken Boo, he's a giant rooster, so, you know, make sense of that. That tells you how stupid the show is. You have a rooster, but the show's called Chicken Boo. Yes. Whatever. So, it's this giant rooster. Like ostrich-sized rooster walking around, parading around, and he doesn't pretend to be these people. He just gets in certain circumstances that, you know, it just happens. So he ends up accidentally putting on this Letterman jacket for a high school. And so people are like, oh, who's the new kid? Oh, you don't know him? Like, oh, yeah, well, I heard he's this, and I heard he's that. And like, all the girls are like, oh, he's so handsome and tall. and he ends up making like the football team, and finally like his outfit gets knocked off, and it's just him standing there on like the field or whatever, if my memory serves me right. It's just big rooster there. Everybody's like, hey, wait a second. You're not, you know, you don't go to this school. And he just kind of cocks his head, and it's like, and he's just a big rooster. Get him. It's just, I mean, like, comes up with, I mean, there had to be some recreational drug use to make some of these ideas for these cartoons that they just pitched to these kids. But Animaniacs is fantastic.
Yeah.
If you've never seen was it Wacko or Yakko, but his song where he sings all the different countries in the world, it's amazing.
Oh yeah, and yeah.
I think he has one for the United States also. Like, it's so good.
And now the nations of the world, brought to you by Yakko Warner.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina.
It's so darn good. Like, I strongly advise anybody, if you like geography, if you just want to watch something neat that takes up 3 minutes of your time, so good.
And Animaniacs had a lot of merchandise, I'll say really quickly. They had home video, VHS, and DVD releases. They had a comic book published by DC Comics, yeah. And it actually parodied some comics, and it parodied some TV, like X-Files even. And it had video games on the SNES and the PC, and it had some musical like CDs and things like that. Now, before we leave Animaniacs, I want to say that they are rebooting it. I have no idea. Like, I worry about things getting rebooted, because if they don't have the same charm and the same, you know, as Animaniacs did, then it's just not going to be worth. It's not. No one's really going to invest in their time in it.
With some reboots, they're good, but I'm more invested in continuations. I don't feel like we really necessarily need reboots constantly, because I'm so tired of the word reboot. But I know one reboot that my father-in-law has been raving about is the new DuckTales reboot. He swears up and down that it is phenomenal, and he's a huge fan of the original DuckTales, but he loves it, and he swears by it, and I think Alexis has watched a few episodes with him, and she says that it's really good too. But yeah, I'm more of a continuation. Like, I wouldn't want to see an X-Files reboot, but then again, at the current last two seasons that we got, kind of wish I never really saw those either.
Well, so it's gonna be on Hulu, and with Spielberg and Warner Brothers. You know, domestic television distribution is going to be part of it. It's going to be coming out in 2020. It's going to have at least two seasons. Yakko, yeah. Wacko, and Dot will return, because I don't believe they're doing any other shows. Wacko or Dot are. I believe they're going to be back on there. And Pinky and Brain will also be back on the show. So they didn't have any creative differences or anything about bringing money in to have Pinky and the Brain up. But no voice actors have been announced, but it better be the people who can actually do it, you know. But anyway, you can catch it on Hulu. Animaniacs, Pinky the Brain, Elmire, and the Brain, Tiny Toon Adventures are all on Hulu. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed. Oh, and by the way, I hate Reboot, too, because Reboot makes it sound like you're getting rid of the original series in a way, right?
In a way, but here's what I don't like. I don't like the fact that you're like, well, we have to do it for a younger generation. No.
Create something new.
Make something new that's as funny, or just have these newer kids watch the older stuff. But there's a lot of references to the 90s in it. Like these kids will be like, who's Bill Clinton? And why is he playing the saxophone in the opening credits? You know, like, you know, I kind of get it, but just make up something new, or just make up a continuation of something. Like I said, like reboot, I'm so tired of it. I don't need to see new versions of things. Just give me newer stories of older things that I like.
Yeah, and that's just really all they need to do.
I'm just a grumpy old man in my 30s. Yeah, you reboot, get off my lawn.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the 90s Today podcast, where we talked about 25th anniversary shows. And we were looking forward to October because it was going to all be about Halloween themed stuff. So we'll be getting back to you on that in October. Not sure if we're going to be back next Saturday or the next Saturday. Just depends. If we'll be back for the next Saturday in September. But we're going to try to. If James can't, I'm going to try to get a co-host. I'm not going to co-host, but a guest host. Or I may just do a solo show. But yeah, but we'll be back for October, we believe, to do some Halloween episodes.
Yeah, hopefully we will be. I will definitely try to make time because I do not like missing the horror themed month of October. So this is, we got a lot of really cool stuff to talk about in October. There's a new Halloween film coming out, woohoo, which is going to be great. Can't wait for that. Talk about Goosebumps. I always enjoy doing that. Talk about Are You Afraid of the Dark. I'll talk about those, you know, with my dying breath if I feel like it. But one thing, Brandon, I want to try to at least do, and I got to have commitment on a special co-host. I really want to get my father-in-law on here to talk about Star Trek of the 90s. And he, because, you know, there's Next Gen, there's the films, there's Deep Space Nine, there's Voyager that he can talk about. So
I'd love to have him on here. So,
I mean, and he knows his stuff, man. You talk about, you know, your knowledge database and your brain. This guy remembers everything. This guy remembers coming out of the womb, I'm pretty sure. He remembers everything.
So, yeah, try to get him.
Yeah, I hope so. It'd be really fun. It'd be really fun to have him on here.
You can also catch this podcast on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts. It's the 90s Today. Google Play Podcasts, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. You can catch me on social media at the 90s Today on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And also, I just want to say really, really quick, I really appreciate all the new viewers we're getting because I have never had an episode within 3 weeks get to 156 downloads in the board game. I mean, usually we go back to the very beginning of where 90s Today just started, and you can look at TGIF and things like that, and they have got about those downloads. But that took a year to get to that. People are starting to listen to us, and I'm sorry that we had to go away a little bit there, but we're not going away or coming back.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so don't worry about that. And anyways, James, where can they catch you at on social media?
They can catch me at Real James Wooten. And yeah, as Brandon said, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. You know, we do our best to give you, you know, a high quality,
highly researched,
highly researched, great quality conversation between two best buds that you just so happened to get to listen to for free. So, yeah, we really appreciate it that you guys are listening in, and we just have fun. We just have fun all around. And send us questions, please. Send us questions, requests, stuff like that. Yeah, we don't get a lot of that, but we want it. Don't think that you're bossy. Ask us. We'll give you a shout out on here. Definitely.
Yeah. Just tweet us. That'd probably be the easiest way. James Rudin at the 90s Today. Just tweet, say, hey, I would like you guys to talk about this, or hey, what do you think about this? Just whatever. You got episode ideas?
Like, I don't even care. Hey, James, you look stupid. Yeah, I'll read it on here. I don't care.
And I'll just say, hey, how did you see James? Because this is an audio podcast.
Yeah, I'll be like, at that point, I'm going to be very nervous.
So, James, you want to sign us off?
Sure. The truth is out there.
Until next time.
Hey, James, wake up. The show's over.
Oh, yeah, kid.